Like to take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 2. We'll spend a few minutes in Matthew, but I think if I remember right, I have all that in your notes. One of the things that was really cool for me when we were at Adult Teen Challenge, and a couple of guys had the opportunity to go with me. If you ever want to go with me to over there, it's really a neat opportunity. But one of the things that's really neat was to keep hearing those young men. There's 39 young men in this program for some kind of addiction. But what's really neat is to hear these young men continually say, look how God is blessing us as we bring in food. And I thought, you know, that was our prayer. Our prayer was that they would see that this is a blessing from the Lord. So it was really neat to just overhear them continually say, man, look how blessed we are. Look how the Lord is blessing us. Today we're going to talk about the Jew and this religion of moralism. And there's some amazing parallels. The more I study the Jewish nation, the more I realize there's some amazing parallels with the United States of America. And the more you understand Israel, the more you understand the Jewish culture, the better you'll understand Scripture, and the better you will understand God's redemptive plan for the entire world. And so we're going to look at some of that. Paul addresses some of it here in Romans chapter 2, beginning with verse 17. He says, but if you bear the name Jew and rely upon the law and boast in God, and you know His will and approve the things that are essential, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth, you therefore who teach another, do you teach yourself? You who preach that one shall not steal, do you steal? You who say that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? So look back at verse 17 at the very beginning where Paul says, but if you bear the name Jew. So Paul turns to the Jews at this point and he says to them, don't assume that you have favor with God just because you are a Jew. You see, the Jews were God's chosen people, and they took great pride in being a Jew. And most Jews believed that a person was saved by being a law-abiding, circumcised descendant of Abraham. And the name Jew actually came from the title Judah, which is one of the 12 tribes of Israel, as well as the name of the southern tribe after the nation split following King Solomon's death. But during their captivity in Babylon, the name Jew came to refer to this whole race, to this whole nation that had descended from Abraham. And the name Jew not only represented their racial heritage, but it represented their religious heritage as well. And in their minds, they were this special favored people of God. In fact, the root meaning of Judah, therefore Jew, is Yahweh be praised. And so the nation of Israel wore the name Jew almost like a badge of honor, if you will. But the Jews lost sight of something. They lost sight of the purpose of their calling. Number one in your notes, the Jews had lost sight of the purpose for their calling. You see, they had a unique divine calling from God, which was to be the avenue through which the Bible says in Genesis 12:13, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God's purpose for his chosen people was for them to share his divine scriptures with the rest of the world and share his divine Savior with the rest of the world. But instead of taking these blessings and using them for God's purposes, they used them for their own. In fact, that's why Jonah refused to, he actually ran from God and refused to preach in Nineveh. He was afraid that they might believe him and repent and miss God's judgment. And Jonah hated those people and he wanted them to incur God's judgment. So instead of being the means in which God would draw all nations unto himself, the Jews tended to use God's blessing as almost like a right that provided them special favor with God, and they totally missed God's purpose for their lives. In fact, the minor prophet Micah repeatedly warned his Jewish brothers and sisters that their boasting in their heritage would eventually lead to their destruction. You see, the common Jew of that time believed that they could sin and not be held accountable simply because they were descendants of Abraham. They believed that their heritage somehow exempted them from God's judgment. But Micah declared in Micah chapter 3 that the corrupt Jew who presumptuously assumes, is the Lord not in our midst? Calamity surely will not come upon us. We'll one day find his holy city of Jerusalem plowed as a field, the Bible says, and lying in a heap of ruins. Which leads us to point number 2 this morning. Being a physical descendant of Abraham did not make them a spiritual heir of Abraham. Being a physical descendant of Abraham did not necessarily make them a spiritual heir of Abraham. Listen to what Jesus told the Jews in John chapter 8. I believe I put this in your notes. They, the Jews, answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, then do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. And they said to him, we have one Father, God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. If God were truly your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God, for he sent me. Now listen to what Jesus says next. Listen to what he says to this nation who thinks that they are closer to God than any other people on the planet. To this nation that thinks that they've got it figured out. They know who God is. They know what God's about. Listen to what Jesus says next. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. For your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. And so Jesus was telling them that if they are truly heirs of Abraham and children of God, then they would have rejoiced at his coming. And they would have received him as the Messiah and as their king. Yet they sought to kill him. And therefore reflected the character of their true spiritual father, the devil. And so in this passage, Paul points out 5 ways the Jews showed their religious ignorance, but also showed their arrogance. The first thing Paul says is, you call yourself a Jew, verse 17. And so the Jew, in his ignorance, has taken this great reminder, this name Jew, he's taken this great reminder of this covenant relationship with God, Yahweh be praised, and has turned it into a source of arrogance where now they are thinking that they're better than other people. Secondly, Paul says you rely on the law, verse 17. And so God has chosen the Jews to reveal his word to the rest of the world, and yet many of them mistakenly thought that having God's word gave them somehow a special position with God, exempting them from judgment. And then Paul points out in verse 17, you boast about your relationship with God. God had called them to be his chosen people, and somehow they took that and they turned it into a claim of superior standing with God. And then Paul says, you know his will and you approve of what is essential, verse 18. And so being the recipients then of this divine revelation, they were given the ability to discern the will of God. But their knowledge of the future puffed them up, particularly as they compared themselves to other people. Major downfall when we compare ourselves to other people. And number five, Paul says, you're instructed by the law. The Jews had the law and they had mastered it. But they used it to control other people, and they used it to protect their own superiority instead of sharing it with the world. They'd been called, verse 19, to be a guide to the blind, to be a light to those who are in darkness, to be a corrector of the foolish, and to be a teacher of the immature. Yet their possession of God's truth made them so arrogant. Listen to this. They actually began to refer to the people they were supposed to reach as dogs. And could this also be said of us as believers? I'm very, very hesitant to ever get down on the Jews because I see myself every time I read about the Jews. Every time I see the mistakes they've made, I see mistakes that I've made. Every time I see mistakes the nation has made, I see mistakes that America has made. And so we need to ask ourselves this morning, could any of this be said as of us as believers? Do we look down on others who don't possess the truth like we do? Do we truly love them enough to share the truth with them in love? Or do we look down on them because they don't possess the truth like we do? Do we tend to have a superior attitude, thinking that we are better than other people, maybe either as Christians or as Americans? Are we busy reaching the world with the gospel, or just keeping it for ourselves, content with the idea that we are okay with God? See, Paul's not saying there's anything wrong with being a Jew. In fact, he was a Jew. He was a Jew of Jews, he says. Being a Jew is a good thing. Paul's not saying there's anything wrong with the law or knowing God's law. Knowing God's law is a good thing, and keeping God's law is even better, amen? But the problem is when we rely on these things to bring about salvation. When we rely on these things to make us right with God, to make us okay with God. And when we boast of such things, as though somehow they make me superior to other people. Which brings us to our third point this morning. Moralism is the religion of people who compare themselves to others. Moralism is the religion of people who compare themselves to others. Now again, Paul's issue with the Jews wasn't their nationality or their morality. It was their attitude towards both. They were relying on these things to the point that they were turning them into some kind of system for salvation. They were taking what was good and turning it into their God, idolatry. We see that all over the United States of America. Taking a good thing and we turn it into a God thing. And you see, everything in the law is good until you turn to it as a way to obtain eternal life. Until you turned, everything in the law is good, until you turn to it as a way of gaining favor with God. Because then, the Bible says you are required to obey the law perfectly. When you rely on the law, then you are required to obey the law perfectly. And we all know we can't keep that requirement. Amen? I'll be the first to raise my hand. In fact, the Bible says if you say that you can keep that requirement, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. 1 John. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned and fall short of God's glorious standard, yet we are justified freely. Listen, this is Christmas. Don't miss this. We're justified freely by His grace. Can you accept that as a gift? Can you accept God's grace as a free gift to you? I would hate to give my children something at Christmas and then them take out money and try to pay me back somehow. Or say, Dad, I tell you what, since you gave me this gift, I'll go mow the lawn. Or, Dad, since you gave me this gift, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. That misses the whole point, right? It misses the whole point of why I've done what I've done. And so the most important thing that you and I can do at Christmas is freely accept God's grace. The word grace literally means to stoop down to. And so God stooped down to you and I in our sin. The Bible says that we have earned death because the wages of sin are death. So the Bible says we've earned death because of our sin, but even while we were still the enemies of God, the Bible says God reached down to us through the person of Jesus Christ and redeemed us. And it's a free gift. That's Christmas. Don't miss it. Don't try to add anything to it. Because when you do, grace is no longer grace, Romans 11:6. So freely accept His grace, and we are justified. That's how we're justified, freely by His grace, through the redemption. That word redemption, redeem, means to be bought back. That came by Christ Jesus. In other words, God had to present Christ as a sacrifice for sin in our place, so that we could have eternal life. The next verse says, God presented Him, speaking of Christ, as a sacrifice of atonement. The word atonement means satisfaction. God's holiness now has been satisfied because we've broken the law. His holiness has been satisfied through faith in the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Christ's blood redeems us. It buys us back, brings us back into relationship with God. It washes our sins away. Yet moralism, listen to this, is still the most common religion of our time, especially in America. Still the most common religion of our time is it's the religion of people who compare themselves to other people to see if they're measuring up, to see if they're doing okay or not. And in so doing, they usually conclude that they are better than most. And if there really is a God, I mean, after all, He'll surely accept me into His kingdom, because when I compare myself to other people, I'm relatively a good person. So how can we tell if we're relying on moralism instead of this free Christmas gift of grace? One of the ways is when we brag about what we've done instead of boasting about the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One author paraphrases this passage and he inserts the word Christian for Jew, which helps us see the passage in contemporary terms as it pertains to us. He says, you call, and this is really neat how he does this, because it's just showing you what we don't want to rely on. We want to rely on faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. We want to rely on God's free Christmas gift of grace. He says, you call yourself a born-again Christian, and you are sure that you are right. You're sure that you're right with God because at some point you signed a commitment card. Because at some point you walked down an aisle. Because at some point you prayed a prayer and you really cried hard when you prayed it. And since then you've memorized Scripture. You know the right answer to a large array of questions. You've even led other people to make a commitment to Christ in the Bible study that you lead. And you have this desire to go deep in the Bible. Well, we know from studying the Jewish culture that a desire to go deep in the Bible can lead to this gaining more knowledge can lead to more ignorance and more arrogance. And so all those things are good things, but only your faith in the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ can save you. And again, Paul's not interested in giving the Jews a hard time. He would be called a hater if he were here today saying what he's saying. He was a Jew. And this is what Paul's doing. Listen, don't miss this, because our culture will steer you in the opposite direction of this. Paul loved them enough to help them see the truth. He loved them enough to share with them that their religion wasn't doing them any good because it was not transforming their lives. It wasn't changing their hearts. And as Chuck Swindoll points out, behaving correctly on the outside will do nothing to cleanse the inside. And it's a man's heart that needs to be cleansed. And only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse the inside. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away the sin of a man's heart. Doing external things to make the inner man right with God is the definition of moralism. And this religion of thinking that somehow we can outwardly perform in a way that will make us acceptable to God always leads to arrogance and eventually to death. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we thank you for your truth. What a blessing it is to be able just to walk through your word and learn from your word the truth about who you are and this incredible blessing of grace and mercy and forgiveness that you've shown us. And we praise you and we thank you for that today. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, you may be here today. And maybe you've never made the decision to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Honestly, the prayer doesn't matter. I lead people in a prayer because it helps them to process what they're doing. What matters is, do you mean it in your heart? That's what God looks at. He looks at our heart. Whether you have been baptized or not does not matter as far as you being a Christian, as far as you being saved. That's an outward symbol of the Christ in your heart. So baptism's more like a wedding ring, if you will. If I lose this ring, I'm still married because of the commitment that I've made to Andrea Irvin for life. So maybe today you would say, Chris, I want to accept this free Christmas gift of God's grace that I can never earn. The Bible makes it clear I've earned death. But because Jesus and His grace came to this earth and lived a perfect life and became the perfect sacrifice for me, I can have eternal life and I can have that relationship once again with God. And if that's where you're at, you can put your faith in God right now. And if you want to say a prayer, you could say a prayer somewhat like this. Please understand these are not magic words. The only thing that matters is that you mean it in your heart. Father, I thank you for your truth. And I thank you for loving me so much you would rather send your only son to this earth to die for me than spend eternity without me. And I thank you, as we saw today, you care about every need and every detail of my life. as one of the folks that decorated the tree read from the scripture this morning. And today I want to put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I want Him to be the Lord of my life. I want to step out of the driver's seat and I want to get in the passenger seat. And I want Him to be the Lord of my life. I want to quit trying to control everything and I want to let Him be in control. And Lord Jesus, I thank You for dying on the cross for me. I thank You for defeating death and giving me eternal life through the resurrection. And today is the day when I accept Your Christmas gift of eternal life. And I want You to be the Lord and the Savior of my life this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.